this is, you know, it's really good. I want everybody to kind of hear what God did, and some of these testimonies are personal. Some of them, we really ask the Lord about the church. What is He saying to Grace Point in this season? And so I'm going to share a little bit about that in the time to come, but I begin with Marianne, so thank you.
Hi, I'm Marianne, and this was the first time I got to go, so this was a wonderful experience for me. For the ones that didn't go, I felt your presence there. I would say you should come next time. It was wonderful. So everyone here, we had at least 50 people there, 50 of us here. Now that's part of them were children. So that was wonderful too. All the children were there and it was a wonderful experience. I got to know a lot of our church folks a lot better, which was wonderful. We had to pray together. There was a beautiful church there that just warmed my heart. The Mills, Eric, oh my goodness. If you want good food, go to his house. But the experience was wonderful. The kids got to play games, and we got a wonderful cabin that we were in. I had three ladies that we got to stay in there with, and they were wonderful to be with, and I appreciate every one of them. So I think my 30 seconds are probably past, is what I was told, but I love this church, and thank you. Next is Stephanie.
Thank you, Miss Marianne. Hi, I'm Stephanie Powers, for maybe some of you who don't know me. So my testimony is, so leading up to the retreat, and I know that I wasn't alone in this, I know not everybody was in this place, but I was definitely a place of being worn out and tired and pretty weary. And so I was really seeking the Lord leading up to the retreat for just refreshment, just encounter Him and come back filled up, you know, ready for the next thing. But during the course of the retreat, and hopefully maybe Athel will explain some of the, because there's a lot of details. So I actually ended up with a lot of so many things I could share. So it was hard to narrow down because the Lord was really just speaking to me a lot through so many different things, answering so many questions, which was a big theme of the whole retreat, was just talking to Jesus. So along the way, the part I'm going to share is about how Jesus changed my question to what the question was, what are you asking for? Or what are you asking God at this retreat? And so I was like, well, I'm asking Him to encounter me and to be filled up. Like, I've already been asking Him. And then by like the next morning, He changed that question. He changed my heart a little bit. And He said, it changed to God, Jesus, what are you wanting for us at this retreat? So it kind of flipped it instead of the ask for me. No, what does He want to do, you know? And He very quickly gave me the answer. And I don't know about you guys. I'm actually terrible at, I can't just rattle off scripture. I'm really bad at that. But I'll get a piece of a scripture. So I'm like, oh, I know that's a verse. And I'll have to look it up. And so it was actually Matthew 11:28. And it says to me, it says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I was like, oh man, this is so good. Like, why do we forget that? I know that verse. Like, who doesn't know that verse as a believer, right? You know that verse. But we forget. And so my encouragement today is just that invitation, I think, to the church, for anybody who's feeling like that. Because it's not just about church, you know, it's life is tiresome. Life is weary. Out in the world is weary. There's not, you know, a lot of things that fill us up out there. The things that we think are filling us up are not filling us up. It's actually just making us more tired. So the Lord's inviting us to just fix it. One of the big themes was fix your eyes on me. Get back to your first love. Remember what I've done in your life. I'm going to take care of all those things. I can do it really easy and really fast if you just let me. So I'm like, oh, okay, we can do this. All right, I don't remember who was next. But get prayer today if that's you, if that was speaking to you.
It was such a good retreat. I've been on a ton of retreats in my life, and it was probably the best I've ever been on. It was just, God was really moving and speaking. So on Saturday morning, Greg had presented an exercise in hearing from God that he called appreciation moments. And he gave us the structure, which I'm going to share with you, of praise, which brings you into God's presence. And he gave us Psalms 100, and verse 4 stood out to me. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name. And then ask the Lord to bring to your memory something pleasurable or delightful. Then name that memory, write it out, thank him for the memory, and then ask him to speak to you about it. What is he wanting to communicate to you with that memory? So we did this exercise individually and then in groups. And there were kids in the room and people talking and moving around and babies talking and crying. And so I did not think that I would be able to tune all of that out and really hear from God. But I gave it a try. And the first time I forgot to start with praise. I asked for a memory, but all that came to my mind was the most recent memory of encountering God in a specific way. And it was a great memory, but I wasn't sure that it was from him. I didn't know if it was just my memory or him. And then we divided up into groups, and I tried again. And this time I remembered to praise first. I praised him for who he is to me and for his attributes, and I thanked him for all that he had done for me. And then I asked him to bring a memory to my mind. And he brought a memory to my mind completely out of the blue that I had not thought about in years. And it was such a great memory of an early morning walk around a lake in Arkansas when I felt his presence very powerfully. Because I was desperate for something to hang on to. My world was falling apart around me in 2017, and there were many, many unknowns that I was facing. And he brought to mind the entire hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. And it gave me such peace to know that he doesn't change and he doesn't fail me, and that all I have needed, he has provided. And how many of you just sang that with me in your mind? It is so powerful that in the moment I started crying and Mary Ann came over to hug me. So I named that memory peace and I thanked him for it. And when I asked what he wanted to communicate with me through that memory, he asked, what are you afraid of now? I gave you my peace in the worst time in your life and I was faithful then. Why don't you trust me with your fear now? And I didn't even know I was carrying around fear. It's been a really hard year in my family. So since the unknowns are external, it's not me that it's happening to, it's family members. I hadn't consciously realized that I was afraid. So sometimes our communication with God requires a little help. And in the corporate setting, we call these things icebreakers. And in families, you might call it a conversation starter. It's helpful to have a fresh approach in your relationship with God. And I came away from this retreat with some fresh ways to approach my ongoing conversations with God, both in prayer and in reading scriptures. There was some fantastic stuff shared that I got a lot out of, and there was not enough time given for me to fully explore that. But anyway, I could do that on my own. So there's no substitute, there's no shortcut in developing your relationship with God. It just takes time. Like every good relationship, it's going to require some work. You're going to have to put something into it. And so times like this, when we can get away in a retreat, it is a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice of your time. It's a sacrifice of your money and your plans. But it's really worth it to set aside that time and say, Lord, you're number one. What do you want to say to me? I'm listening. So, I love that the fruit of the Spirit is grown in personal time spent with God. And that's what I got out of this retreat.
Thank you for sharing that, Jessica. And appreciation moments, it's a wonderful technique, as she explained, for really engaging with the Lord and allowing him to speak to you. And I think what you didn't say is, or maybe you did, you have to write it down. That really, really helps. But if you want to practice that, you can talk to Jessica, because she explained it perfectly, or you can talk to me later also. So the retreat, for me, I kind of agreed with what I heard other people say. We're tired during the week, and we have things to do, and can we really set aside a whole weekend? And kind of came to the retreat, well, I should go to the retreat, so I did, and came away just so refreshed and so happy to be with the people of God all weekend. And that was one of my takeaways, was not just what was taught or what was practiced, but just being with devoted believers all weekend. There's something you absorb from that that's strengthening and motivating, and it definitely motivated me. There was a lot of fun in just informal time. I found out that Jason loves to read novels, and we like the same kind, so we're exchanging information about authors. I found out that Matt and Brad like to read science fiction, which I don't like. It freaks me out, so not doing that one. But on the spiritual side, the focus was over and over again hearing from the Lord. And we had, I think, 4 sessions focused on a short teaching, and then we went off and practiced it and did it. And so my takeaway, when I went home, I had some things to think about. And it's an hour drive home, and I usually will listen to some kind of instructive podcast, or sometimes even sports radio, but I just turned it off because I wanted to hear more. I just wanted to be quiet and allow him to speak. And after I got home, I wanted that to continue. And so it's funny, we all have these smartphones and look at them a lot for information. Well, I actually got an aversion to doing that, which was healthy. You know, instead of like in the morning, go to the smartphone, look at the news. I'm like, no, I don't want to do that. I want to allow the Lord to speak. And some of you might not like this, but I decided I wouldn't even look at the Chiefs football schedule. Because I didn't want that to occupy my mind. Now, I'm not saying I won't watch any games, but he gets first place.
So I'm going to start by sharing an offensive thing that I was told this morning when I got here. And I don't know if the person is still, they were on the worship team, I'll just say that. He said, look, you've got your inner Charlie Brown going on today. For those of you who know that, I think he wears orange. Anyway, and maybe because I'm bald, I don't know. And I said, well, I don't have the hair. And he said, well, I have a Sharpie back there. I can give you a little squiggly line. So as I'm talking, just picture Charlie Brown. For those of you that are old enough to know who that is. So those of you that don't, you don't have to do that. So I guess I'll start with, I didn't want to go. I went because my wife wanted to go. Men, can you relate to that? You never do things you don't want to do because your wife wants to, right? So, in one of the sessions, someone read Revelation 3:20, where basically Jesus says he stands at the door and knocks. If anyone, you know, basically he wants to come and sit and dine with us. And so they asked us to meditate on that. And so I went off and thought about that. And so I literally, because there was a table and chair in the house that we, Lynn and I were staying in. And so I just pictured me and Jesus sitting down having a conversation at this table. And Well, and what Stephanie shared is similar to what I'm going to share, because even though I get up here and act all woohoo, stupid and goofy and all that, I have been weary and tired, exhausted, burned out for years. I kind of come in and out, but I get to where I'm at my wit's end, and I just want to throw in the towel and quit everything, just to be honest. And I'm still battling that. And so that was the prevalent question that I wanted to ask the Lord, like, God, how do I get out of this? Like, how do I? And so when I was having this conversation with Jesus at the table, a very similar verse in Matthew 11, 28, Jesus brought to my mind, and I'm just going to focus on three parts. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So I remember reading that thinking, okay, well, that's me. I'm weary and heavy laden. And I know for a fact that many of you in here today feel that way every day of your life. You're exhausted, you're tired, and you just don't have much motivation. And I'll just ask you this. Do you think that's the way Jesus wants us to live our lives? And the answer to that is a simple no. That's not how he wants us to live. And so I was like, well, God, I definitely qualify for that. I'm weary and heavy laden. And then he just, it's like those words jumped out. He said, come to me. And I got to thinking, I've been trying all kinds of things to fix my weariness, more sleep, more downtime, reading books, avoiding people, hiding with the lights out in the house so I don't have to talk to people. And shockingly, it hasn't worked that well. In fact, Lynn was gone for 2 weeks to England and Wales and Scotland, and except for work, I spoke to nobody. I mean, I kept my blinds closed, and I just hid out of my house. But none of that was fixing my weariness. And he said, come to me. Quit trying to fix all of your stuff with external things. I'm your source of rest. Because he said, come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. So that's what the Lord spoke to me. I really feel like the Lord wants to maybe speak to some of you right now about that. I'm not saying I'm all magically better, but my perspective has changed, and I'm trying to bring all of this weariness to Jesus and asking him what to do with that and how I find healing and restoration through it. So that's all I've got. Thank you for listening. And I don't know who's next. Oh, yeah, Eric. Yes, please welcome Archbishop Spady. Here you are, sir.
They put up in your honor.
Oh, yes.
I'm the last one to share. I think there were so many highlights. I want to give you just a few that were very personal for me. I think one of the themes you've heard is so many people going, either they were tired or should I really give up a weekend for a retreat? I think every one of us, and I include myself in that list, would say it was absolutely worth it. So amazing. And it was all the small little things. I'm going to highlight some of the small things just because I can. I think it was fun to watch interaction with people in this room that maybe don't normally get a chance to interact with each other on a Sunday morning. Watching the kids, getting to know some of the family members was really a highlight for me. I was the camp cook, so I was a lot in the kitchen, and I enjoyed little Justin Dutzman sneaking in every single time, going to the end of the table where the desserts are, looking around, seeing if anyone was looking, and seeing if he could swipe a cookie or whatever else I had put out. It was very fun, watching the interaction, watching people receive and hear from God. Our times in the chapel were amazing. Our three elders shared a message each time. Matt started off with sharing what kind of questions are we asking from God. And we would listen and journal. The next morning, as you heard, Greg shared about appreciation, what Jessica was sharing. Great time to approach God and with that appreciation and listen. Athel shared the whole introduction to the weekend as well as other times. It was amazing to see not just talking heads or another sermon, another message. I think we were all tired of that. It was amazing to see God show up and speak. All of us took time to journal out what we were hearing from the Lord, journaling to hear different things. It was the little things like that that spoke, that people would stand up in the chapel and read out what God shared or what God spoke to them publicly to the rest of us. There was a sense that we were together and of one accord, of one heart. The fellowship times around the meals or the activities outside, or you could just rest and go for a walk yourself. There was a lot of freedom in that. I think I really enjoyed some of the small interactions that I saw among people, the small little talks that people had, the people that came to the, I'm a great people observer because of my profession. I saw the people show up that were very anxious about the retreat melt and relax with one another. I, like Greg, drove home, but I turned on my radio. He sat in silence. I turned on my radio, and I sang out in just thankfulness for the Lord. My heart was full. I drove from that retreat going, it was a wonderful time to be with my tribe. That's how I felt, a wonderful time to be with my tribe. So many of the little things, little fun things. Like if you ever get a chance to hear Dan Mathis sing and lead worship, amazing time, or Tim singing and leading worship. Dan Mathis is hilarious, as most of you know. If you don't know, get to know him. He's hilarious. He did a great worship song, impression of Bob Dylan singing worship at our campfire. It was amazing. Kudos to you, Dan, for that. Some of these little things like that, that just made it very fun and very special. I encourage you, if you ever have, I'm sure we will have another retreat, come, be a part, even though your mind's gonna go, I can't give up a whole weekend. I got so much stuff to do. It was worth it. It was worth it. It was worth it.
Thank you, Eric. Yeah, thank you, everyone who shared. And yes, it was definitely worth it. And I think we all felt that we actually kind of came down, slowed down. We drove home without the radio on, and that was by necessity because our radio doesn't work in our car. But that helped. But I want to share a little bit this morning because I also want to give us some time to discuss around the tables. Because what was the theme? We were, as elders, as we were preparing, we were asking the Lord, what is the theme for this retreat? And, you know, we had some thoughts, we had some ideas, but really it kind of came about as we started gathering and as we started focusing on. And the Lord brought so many different pieces together that we didn't expect. And I want to share briefly about each of the sessions, and then I'm going to bring it back. So there's a bit of a message that I want to share this morning. Now, we didn't plan to have happen what happened. We had some ideas, and we just said, Lord, here's the time. Do with it as you please. And he did. The first session that we had on Friday night, Matt led that first session, but the focus was around John 10:27. Where Jesus said, my sheep listen to my voice, I know them, and they follow me. And that became the theme for the whole weekend, really. And the question, which I spoke a bit about earlier, is what are you asking God? And the interesting thing was, I wrote it up two white sheets. I put it up on either side of the chapel, and I said, right up here, what are you asking God for? And I put the word for there. Well, we're drawn to that, right? What do I need from God now? And then as I was looking at it, it's like, that's not what Matt said. There's something wrong there. And I was stirred. I said, no, it's not right. I should cross out the word for. And as I did that, Matt was sitting down about three rows back, and he said, I was just praying and asking God to tell you to do that, to take out the word for. And the Lord began stirring in us and say, yes, he is speaking to us. And it's very different to say, what are you asking God? What are you asking God? Like, do you want to get to know him better? What does he want to reveal to you about his nature and his character? What is the scripture that you're digging in that you want to ask God about? We very quickly come and say, what am I asking God for? So that was kind of the beginning and the theme. And we circled back over and over, and I started by asking the question, how real is God to you? How real is he to you? Because our world is so loud, so crowded with so many activities and things going on. It's easy to have God drowned out into the silence. And the verse that we also came back to over and over again was John 10:9. I am the gate. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. There's an aspect to that that we sometimes don't always see. Jesus is saying there's a coming and a going. It's not just coming into the enclosure where Jesus is the gate and staying there. No, there's coming and going, and then there's finding pasture. So the way we related that and looked at that is every one of you have a life outside of this four walls, right? We all have a life outside of this. It may be in the business world, it may be in school, it may be in different areas in the marketplace, it may be in a home as a homemaker. But it's even in the coming and the going. It's coming here on Sunday, but then it's going home. It's in the workplace where you actually find pasture, where the Lord sustains you. He gives you strength in the doing of regular and everyday life. That's something we don't always think about. We tend to think, well, if I come to church, I get fueled up so I can try and get through the week. But what Jesus is saying, there's pasture out there if you follow me. Whatever you do, you'll be nourished and sustained when you are following Jesus. And he's speaking to the church here. You notice that sheep is one of those weird words that it can be singular or plural, but he's saying he's speaking to the church. He's actually speaking plural here. You come and go as the church. And then Saturday morning, as we heard, Greg led us through that teaching and exercise on appreciation moments, being thankful. And you know, he made us share, as Jessica said, something that's delightful. And I heard that word and I was like, you know, I don't often use that word in my language, but it's a appreciation of what God has done. And every one of us, you know, waited on the Lord and said, what do you say about that wonderful moment that I encountered? That wonderful moment that you gave us. And Debbie and I had the same one about an experience that we had in Hawaii. And we were on opposite sides of the rooms, and she heard that I was sharing the same story. But when we sat back and said, Lord, what do you say about that? You know, we really appreciate it. But the Lord's like, I have so much more to give you. I have so much more that I want to show you. So much more that I want to bless you with. As you begin to appreciate it. And we as his children only scratch the surface of his goodness and his love for us. Because sometimes we don't dwell enough on appreciating what he has done for us. And let's be watching. You know, as we come and go in our lives, God gives us gifts, and sometimes we miss them. Something that Debbie and I did in 2022, actually as a family, when we went to South Africa, we actually said, let's look for kisses from heaven. Those moments of unexpected surprises and goodness from God. And we literally had every day two or three things we could say, you know, that was a gift from God. That was a kiss from heaven. And it creates that awareness of how much God is involved in our lives every moment of every day. How real is God to you? When you start appreciating those moments and seeing it, it becomes more and more real to you. And then Saturday morning, we had another session. Our friends from 111 Global came, and Michael Ball spoke and from a local ministry and shared some tools for meditating on the scriptures, really digging into the Word of God and meditating on the Word of God and allowing the Holy Spirit to reveal truth to us. And he shared, without any prompting, without any me telling him, hey, this is going to be the theme, he shared Revelation 3:20. The letter that Jesus wrote to the church in Laodicea. And actually starting next week, We're going to be beginning a series, a sermon series on the letters to the churches that'll take us through the fall. He didn't know that. And so it's kind of a segue into what the Lord is going to be speaking to us in the weeks to come. But Revelation 3:20, we know this well. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. These are actually Christians that Jesus is talking to. Jesus is writing to the church in Laodicea. This is not an evangelistic knocking on the door to open your life to Jesus. No, this is to Christians. And Jesus is saying, I want to come and have a meal with you. I want to have an intimate moment with you where we share a meal together. And notice, it's a two-way relationship. Jesus said, I want to come and eat with you and you with me. It's a relationship meal that Jesus wants to share. Again, it's nourishment, going back to John 10:9. You'll come and go and find pasture. There's nourishment, there's strength. But there's something that that struck me about this verse. I'd seen this verse all my life. And Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock, right? That's the picture we get. But Jesus says, if anyone hears my voice, he didn't say, here's my knock. He says, here's my voice, and opens the door, and I will come in. Jesus is speaking all the time. Are we listening? He's knocking all the time. He's speaking all the time. And are we willing to pause our lives and have a meal with Jesus? The joke I had is like, it's dinner time all the time. Jesus is wanting to have a meal with us. He's speaking all the time. Are you opening the door? And sometimes, you know, to open the door to Jesus means closing the door of your bedroom and opening the Word of God and say, Lord, let's have a meal together. Open God's Word and feast on God's Word. And then Sunday morning, I wanted to bring it back to us here at Grace Point. And we looked at Acts 4:13-20, and Peter and John were coming into the temple in Acts chapter 3, and they'd healed a lame man, and he was jumping up and down and causing quite a stir and celebrating that he was healed. And this became a bit of an issue because the religious leaders of the day said, this is not good what these people are saying and doing. We need to stop them. And they called Peter and John to them and said, you know, stop preaching the word. Basically, stop doing what you're doing. You're creating trouble for us. And Peter responds by boldly preaching the gospel, boldly declaring the word of God because he'd spent time with Jesus. We'll see that. Verse 13-20, I want to read together. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Notice the connection. But since they could see the man who'd been healed standing there, and there was a testimony that they couldn't deny, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and they conferred together. What are we going to do with these men? They asked. Everyone living in Jerusalem knows that they have performed a notable sign. We cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn them to speak no longer to anyone in his name. Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to listen to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. We had some testimonies this morning about what people saw and heard, and they shared. What have you seen and heard that you can share, that you want to share? You know, the early church was bold. The early church was bold in proclaiming one primary message: Jesus is alive. That was their testimony. That was their message. Jesus is alive. He rose from the dead, and salvation is found in no other name than the name of Jesus. What made these poor humble fishermen so bold? They'd been with Jesus. They'd spent time with Jesus. They'd eaten a meal with Jesus, several meals with Jesus. They'd walked with Jesus. When you go out tomorrow morning to your job, to your school, to your place of occupation, will people around you see that you'd been with Jesus? That's the way it should be, right? We spend time with Jesus, and when we go out to our places of work and our occupation from Monday to Friday, people around us should say, there's something different. What is that? Oh, you've been with Jesus. Do we show that? But coming back to our family here at Grace Point, and what you heard Jason shared and Stephanie shared and others, there's that, I think it's just a global thing that we're struggling, not just in our church, in our culture, in the world around us. People are exhausted. The world is moving at such a rapid rate. People are exhausted. They're tired. And I've been wrestling with this, and I love the Matthew 11:28, because that's the truth, right? What Jason shared. It's the simple truth. Sometimes we get exhausted because we simply are doing too much, right? There is a reason sometimes if you're doing too much and you're exhausted. And that's right. There is the need for a Sabbath. And we don't really talk a lot about that, but we really need to talk about and practice a Sabbath, a day of rest in our lives. But sometimes we're exhausted because we're doing things for the wrong motivation. We're doing good things, but our motivation is wrong. We're doing them either out of duty, or we're doing them because, well, no one else is going to do it, so I better do it. When we do those things with the wrong motivation, it is exhausting. But what would it look like if everything that we did as a church flowed out of being with Jesus? Everything that we did flowed out of an encounter with the presence of Jesus, nourished by His Word, filled by His Spirit. We won't be exhausted because we'll be doing what pleases Him. And what pleases Jesus fills us up and fuels us and energizes us. How different would our church look if we prioritize the presence of Jesus in our lives, the realness of the presence of Jesus in our lives. And we prioritize the presence of Jesus over the programs of the church. I mean, every church has programs, right? And all of them are good. We've whittled away a lot of programs in our church, some that were just there because we've always done it that way. We've taken away a lot of those. But what if we prioritize the presence of Jesus over the programs for Jesus? I just attended a conference this week on Monday and Tuesday in Atlanta for the churches and replanting churches in the North American Mission Board. And it was a wonderful time of, it kind of followed from the retreat and went to this where I got a lot of good information, but it was very similar, a lot of overlap that happened between what happened at the retreat and what I heard at the conference. And one of the speakers says, programs may inform, but presence transforms. Programs inform us, but the presence of God transforms us. So we took some time last Sunday, and I want to end with this. I simply put the word why on a sheet. Why? Why do we do what we're doing? And ask those who've been waiting on the Lord for the weekend and all of those who were in the room and said, put up there why we do church. Why do we exist as a church? What is the purpose of the church? The why. And this is what came out. This is completely unedited. This is exactly what was put on the board line by line, and I didn't change the order at all. Why the church exists, you'll see the beginning one was love God, love one another, prayer, the Holy Spirit, individual time with the Lord, equipping in personal spiritual disciplines, proclaiming Jesus with power and grace, telling God's stories. We did some of that this morning. Expecting the miraculous, released from the fear of man, fear of the Lord, open-handed heart posture, caring for one another, prioritize people, and being grateful for the presence. And I say, I didn't change the order, but as I was looking at this list, the order's right. Because the first four, if we can go back to that, the first slide, the first four are the right priority. Love God, love one another. That's the greatest and the second commandment that Jesus gave us. And then prayer, focused on prayer, an encounter with the presence of the Holy Spirit, and then individual time with the Lord. And as I looked at those are all God-focused. They're all vertical. Out of that flows all of the rest. Everything else flows from those first four. Putting God first. Obeying God in all He has called us to do. And then praying for direction. And then power will come out of those times spent with the Lord. So how well do we as a church do those first four? Because if we don't get those first four right, the rest will be a chore. The rest will be burdensome. How well are we doing those first four? Individually, how well are you doing those first four? Loving God, loving others, spending time in prayer, spending time with the Word of God. And again, that's not a duty, that's an invitation into the presence of the Lord. And only then can you begin to really serve the Lord, volunteering. Because when we volunteer, we get those first four right, and we volunteer for different things, we're actually running on a full tank of gas. Right? We have the fuel we need to do what God calls us to do. And I think that's the one thing that we all took away from this weekend. We get our priorities right, we're filled up with the presence of God. The rest of things just flow from that presence of God. But maybe today you don't have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. What we're talking about all of this is knowing Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. And as we break to our tables now, I'm going to hand out the discussion questions. But speak to someone at your table. I invite you, you can come and pray with me and speak to me or speak to someone at your table. But all of this begins with that personal relationship with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So let's pray, and I'm going to hand out, and we've got a few minutes to have some time around the table. Got a few very simple questions based on what we have discussed today. So Lord, we thank You for this day. We thank You, Lord, for being able to discuss this as a larger body, as Your church. I thank You, Lord, for everyone here in this room and those that aren't able to make it today. Lord, I pray that we would always, always get our priorities right and keep You first. Lord, teach us. Teach us what it means to know that Your yoke is easy and Your burden is light. Fuel us up, Lord, by Your Spirit. And Lord, I pray that You would fuel us so that Your name is glorified, that You are the one that people know we've been with when they see us in the marketplace and in the world and outside of these four walls. And we give You the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.